thank you, Luke. It's recorded.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to the cabinet meeting this evening. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council website. In addition, under the local authorities, executive arrangements, meetings and access to information, England's regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Item one, we have apologies.
Not received leader other than Councillor James is going to be a bit late.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Item two is disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. Does any member have anything of interest to declare?
No.
Okay, I just have one on, as a member of Leicestershire County Council, on our draft budget. Okay, thank you. These announcements, no announcements to make today, and then we move on to item four, which is minutes of the previous meeting of the 16th of November. I have it here for approval and it has been published on the website. Do we have any comments? If not, happy to accept?
Yep.
All in favour?
Thank you.
Which leads us to item five, which is questions under county procedures 10.7, and we have four questions today, and the first is of Councillor Taylor, per three. If you'd like to join us, Councillor Taylor.
Excuse my voice, I hope it lasts.
It's okay, thank you. So, Councillor Taylor, if you would like to read out the question or take the questions and responses as read, and if you want to make a supplementary question, then I'd be happy to take that. It's up to you, is that how you want to do it?
I've got supplementary on all A, B, and C. Do you want them all at the same time or separate?
Shall we do them all at the same time, and I'll give a response to do it individually. We've got three questions, so we'll do it individually.
Okay.
And I'll be there.
So the one to, and obviously we'll take them as read as published. So the first one, you failed to address in your reply to me that the majority of the councillors present at the 26th of July briefing wanted the 5 minute slot to remain. So there was obviously a change of view between the 26th of July briefing and the following meetings held on the 21st of August and the 7th of September before the change was presented to the Scrutiny Commission and the Cabinet. So I'll ask the question again and hope for a clear answer. So who decided to recommend the change of the Constitution to 3 minutes without bringing this item back for further discussion at a later councillor briefing?
Okay, thank you very much for that one. Just to say that, I think we've covered this ground already, but I'll respond again. Councillors were given opportunities to scrutinise the 3 minutes at Scrutiny Committee and before at full council. Since the briefing to the actual council meeting itself, no other councillors raised the query again. So that's a good response, thank you. So if we now move on to question B.
Okay, so on to supplementary for B. So thank you for confirming that the POSE does not make any reference to the chair making decisions on reports being added to the agenda. So on the evening of the full council, it was stated many times that we must follow the advice of the consultants. So why then have you added this additional piece into the constitution? You've also stated that 97% of the approximately 2,500 planning applications are dealt with using delegated powers. This leaves approximately 75 applications to be heard by the Council Committee. It states that even a smaller number than that have had ward council concerns statutory addressed, but the call in a request not withdrawn, but no number is given. So how many is that that's happened to? And I also asked for the list of dates and planning applications over the past year that have been repeatedly raised by members of the Plans Committee, and this information has not been provided. So could that also be provided for me? The amendment to the Constitution now agreed was to deal with exceptional circumstances where the ward council objection has to be overcome to the satisfaction of the stakeholder, but it's not stated in the Constitution, only the frequently asked questions. So why is that? And as you stated in the frequently asked questions, the amendment is to deal with exceptional circumstances where the reason for the council calling has been overcome to the satisfaction of stakeholders. So I ask you to confirm how the stakeholders will be contacted and will their responses be registered in the public domain. This will also include parish council and objectors as stakeholders. Again, this has not been answered.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Taylor, for that one. I'll get you a response on that one, a written response back on that one, because there was quite a few items there.
And then my final supplementary on C. Could the leader explain why he thinks it's okay for a councillor with an interest in an application is not able to call an application on behalf of their residents in a single member ward? Does he consider this to be democratic, or does he consider this puts residents at a disadvantage in single member wards? Will you agree to look at this issue again?
Okay, if that's the thing, I'll agree to look at it again. I think we want to make sure that the appropriate advice is followed from the monitoring officer, and at the time the monitoring officer said that if we pass on the interest then it becomes a registered interest, but I don't want to rehash the council meeting here. We want to look at ways that we can pass on that responsibility without being fettering our interest. So we will look at it, as I said, and get back to you and get back to council. But it's something we're looking at. I'm not saying there'll be a positive move, but there'll be a move on that. Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. I call Councillor Baines, who has the next question.
Thanks very much. My question was around, given the stated aim to balance the budget and not to use reserves, could you indicate what council services you propose to stop offering and when?
Thank you very much, Councillor Baines. Since the question came in, I think you've had sight of the budget, and I think it's abundant that we're not using reserves in that budget as well. So I think the answer has been given to you in the question.
I suppose my comeback would be...
Sorry, Councillor Baines, that's it.
Could I just clarify? I think you were just rehashing your first question, weren't you? I wasn't sure.
Say that again.
So your introductory comments there, I think, were just a resume of your original question, weren't they?
Yes.
Not your supplementary.
Exactly.
I think. So sorry to be clear, I think just to be fair to Councillor Baines, that was my reading of what he was saying.
Is that so? Just check that. Supplementary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to come back then, my supplementary now is just to state, if we have a situation where we cannot easily generate extra income, and we also are deciding to look at the use of reserves, but over to a lesser degree, that either means we generate extra income, maybe not as much as we originally intended, or we cut some costs. You can't have it both ways. And your answer indicates that there is no plan for this, and I'm just wondering if I'm missing something.
I think what we've presented is a budget in year, and that's what we can forward project at this moment in time. When we look at future budgets, then we'll be making the appropriate decisions at that time. Right, I move now to item 6, which is the asset manager strategy and the scrutiny commission report. We have Justin Henry here, but I'm going to ask Councillor Jones, just in the nick of time, to present the report, and then I'll move to officers, and then I'll come to Councillor Patrick.
Thank you very much. So yeah, just briefly, the asset management strategy 2024-2030 sets out the strategic direction for the use and management and development of the council's corporate property resources. Over this period, paying specific emphasis to rationalising where appropriate and to make best use of space, as well as bringing where possible into line with our current net zero carbon commitment, which has a delivery by 2030. That's it.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Justin, do you have anything further to add to the report?
No, thank you, Leader. I think Councillor Jones has given a good resume of the paper.
Oh, brilliant, thank you very much. I have Councillor Shane Rattray, Chair of the Scrutiny Commission here. Would you present the Scrutiny Commission's report, please?
Yes, of course. You would have already received the report, so I'm not going to read the report, but just give you a summary of the position. So as Chair of Scrutiny, I've informed Cabinet that the Commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in the report of the Head of Assets and Property. The Commission asked for clarity on timescales for the review stages and requested that customers will always account for priority when reviewing assets and making future plans. Lots of questions were asked and the Commission was happy with the responses given. Overall, the Commission was happy to support the report and recommends Cabinet approve the recommendations.
Yes, thank you very much, Councillor Rattray. Any questions by members to Councillor Rattray for clarification? Thank you very much, Councillor Rattray. I'll take our thanks back to the Scrutiny Commission.
Thank you.
I open the up for discussion. Any members have any questions on the report at all? Yeah, brilliant, thank you very much. Councillor Jones, back to yourself.
So just to very briefly summarise, I'd like to move officer recommendations 1 to 5 for reasons 1 to 5 of the agenda items 5 to 10.
Thank you very much for that. Do I have a second there?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. All in favour? Thank you very much. It's unanimous. Thank you. We move to item 7, which is the draft general fund and HRA 2024-2025 budget. I call on Councillor Ashcroft to present the report, but we also have Simon Jackson, Director of Finance and Governance, to support, and Neil Whitehall, Acting Head of Finance as well.
Thank you, Leader. This report can be found in the agenda supplement, and the recommendations can be seen on page 3, the reasons below the recommendations. There are some features of this I'd like to point out as well. These start on page 6. To summarise, first of all, we're having no use of the working balance in this draft budget, so the working balance will remain at the end of the year. The council tax will be restricted to 3%, as we stated previously, and the local special expense restricted to 1.99%. Also, worth noting that we've created a £100,000 grants pot for eligible community groups, and we've also frozen the garden base collection charges again, as we previously stated.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Ashcroft. Simon or Neil, anything further to add to the report?
No, certainly not for myself. Obviously, happy to answer any questions that might arise.
So. Cheers. Thank you very much. So, I open up to members. Any discussion from you? Okay, thank you. All I want to say is that this is our first budget that we've delivered as a new administration. It's been a challenging year for all local authorities, actually, up and down the country. And we just have to look at the press over the last few weeks to see what kind of challenge there is. And I don't want to throw shade to any other cap authority, because we could find ourselves in the same boat in a few years' time. But I'm proud that we've presented a budget where we haven't used the working balances. We've been prudent, we've looked at the figures once we've come in, we haven't spent willy-nilly, but we've managed to deliver on some of our manifesto pledges, and going forward hopefully we'll deliver on more of them. And I hope this is a draft budget that everybody can support, and when we come to the final budget itself, I'm hopeful that the figures will be very similar if we're not using the reserves, and then everybody can get behind it, and then we can deliver on this budget. Councillor Ashcroft, back to yourself.
Okay, I'd like to move the officer recommendation, which can be seen on page 3 of the agenda supplement, for the reason given below.
Cheers, thank you very much. Do I have a second? Cheers, thank you very much. All in favour? Thank you, that's it. Thank you very much. Okay, we move to item 10, which is the draft capital plan 2024-25 to 2026-27. I'm going to ask Councillor Ashcroft to introduce the report, and again we have Simon Jackson, Director of Finance, and Neil Whitehall, Acting Head of Finance, present.
Okay, Leader. Again, this can also be found in the agenda supplement, starting on page 21. And the recommendation comes up to continue on page 21 for the reason given below. Some of the features of the plan coming forward can be seen starting on page 23, particularly. Point out that there's going to be a new Bourne Homes Fund of £0.25 million created, an additional funding of £2 million allocated to the HRA purchase of plan homes. There's also going to be delivery support for carbon neutral projects of £0.2 million, and also £0.25 million towards a feasibility study for solar array.
Cheers, thank you, Councillor Ashcroft. Simon, anything further to add?
Okay, well, happy to answer any questions, but I think Councillor Ashcroft summarised the main points. Thank you.
Cheers, thank you very much. And Neil?
Safely.
Cheers, thank you very much. Members, do we have any questions at all on the capital plan? I'd just like to add that I'm glad that we've been able to put some stuff into the capital plan. It doesn't supersede the existing capital plan, it adds to it, so all the other things that we've asked for in the existing capital plans will go forward as well. I think it's a distinction to be made. But yeah, I'm looking forward to delivering this capital plan, and you know, we always bring forward capital amendment plans of any other projects or if any other councillor thinks that we should be doing something else or looking at something else, please put that forward and we'll consider it for the plan. Councillor, back to yourself.
Okay, so I'd like to move the recommendation, which is in 21 of the agenda supplement, for the reasons given below.
Cheers, thank you very much. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Batchel. All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. We move to item 9, which is the Capital Plan Amendment Report. I asked Councillor Ashcroft about to introduce the report. Again, we have Simon Jackson and Neil Whitehall present. Thank you.
Okay, again, this is the agenda supplement. In this case, starting on page 31. We can see 9 recommendations on page 31. The reasons given on page 2. Full detail of all the amendments can be seen in Appendix 1 of the report. And the reasons behind these changes are given in Section 4 of Part B of the report. In particular, there's additional detail which is given on the expected overspend associated with Bedford Square on page 35.
Cheers, thank you very much, Councillor Ashcroft. Simon, do you have anything to add?
Just as a sort of a governance technicality, some of these things are within the power of the councillors, the power of cabinet to sort of an executive decision, but because of the size, there are a couple of these recommendations that will be going forward to council in due course, assuming that cabinet approve the recommendations as drafted.
Cheers, thank you very much for that clarification. Neil, anything further to add?
Nothing to add.
Cheers, thank you very much. Cabinet members, anybody got any questions to ask? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I've got nothing to add to this one, so Ian, back to yourself.
I think that again, I'd like to move the officer recommendation on the line for reasons 1 to 9 on the agenda supplement pages 31 to 32.
Cheers, thank you very much. Do I have a second, please? Thank you, Councillor James. All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Item 10 is exempt information. I propose to exclude members of the public from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the ground that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. Can I have a second to that, please? Councillor Blatchell, all in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you.